Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Samach Tes. We're holding at the very top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, Talalei Rav L'Rebbe Beinei Chiti. A very interesting expression. What does that mean? Rav sent a letter to Rebbe. Rashi says, Shalach Lo Iger Shloimim. Iger Shloimim means just a nice, ordinary letter, you know. Rebbe, how are you doing? How's everything going? How's the Avodas HaKodesh? How's the Lima Daf Yoimi? Etc., etc. And betolulei beinechiti. Beinechiti of him means between the shurais. Rashi said bein hashitim. He threw in the following shaila. In other words, instead of asking the shaila normally written out on one or two lines, in between all the lines there was a shaila that was added, if you will, to the letter. So what is the Gemara telling us? In the Shittim Kubetzes, quotes from the Rimigash, that the Rimigash says that he wrote the whole letter. And at the end of the letter, after he finished, he remembered, oh, I wanted to ask the Rebbe Shaila. But there was no longer room in the letter, because I guess he had written the entire irogram from top to bottom. The whole thing was full. And so therefore, he tried to go and squeeze it in between some of the sentences that he had already written. He squeezed in a word here and a word there. But of course, that doesn't tell us why that is so significant that the Gemara even needs to report that. So the Maram Shif says in the back, that probably the reason is because, as we know, Tradish Baal Peh is not supposed to be written down. It's only later on that they were Masak and Eis Las L'Shem Eferi Teresecha, and Rebbe said, yeah, we are allowed to go and write it down. And as you know, there are quite a few Sforim that have been printed since then. The point is that Rav did not want to write out this Shtikel Torah or his question in an ordinary, regular, one or two sentence way, because he was concerned he might be violating this rule about writing down Divrei Baal Peh, the Chsav. Therefore, he figured if he do the Shinoi, writing a few words here and a few words there, that would not violate that rule. So that's what the Maram Shif says in the back of the Gemara. Anyway, bottom line is, what did he ask him already? Zokti Gemara, he asked him, Achen Sheshibdu Mahu. What happens if the brothers were Mishabed their Nechosim? Can their sister or half-sister go and collect her Isur Nechosim? So as you recall, we spoke yesterday at some length about the fact that a girl whose father Nimbach passed away and she wants to get married, she's entitled to go and get Isur Nechosim, one-tenth of the Nechosim, for purposes of a Nadin. So now the question is, what happens? The father passed away, the brothers had a Yerusha, and they went and they were Meshabedit. The Gemara is going to tell us momentarily that two ways of being Meshabed. One way is to go and actually sell these properties to someone else, and now collect the funds and use it for whatever. Or that they use it as a mashkin. And the word Shibud means that there is now either the Mushubadim. Mushubadim means that they were sold to the Kukais. Or if it was given as a mashkin, given as collateral, that means therefore that they have an equity interest, but there are liens on this property for the mashkin, for the halva that was taken. And now this young lady comes along and says, yeah, but I'm deserving of Isur Nechosim. Can I go and latch on to the properties that were already sold? Because my lien on these properties, or the choiv to me, precedes their choiv. They had no business buying the property, so therefore there's a lien on the property for that. Or in the case of the person who went and did it for a, if the brothers went and used these properties as vehicles for a mortgage, there's a liens on these properties for halva, does her lien precede theirs that she should be able to go and get that property from? That's the shaila. Now, if you remember, we discussed this very briefly yesterday. If you go back to Samech Chesamet Beis, just roughly 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Amar Avuna Amar Rebbe, Parnasa is referring to Nadin, Einokit Tanai Ksuva, it's not like the Tanai Ksuva. Tanai Ksuva means like Mizoinois, my Einokit Tanai Ksuva, in which respect? Simon had three answers, but the first answer was, Inem Adil Parnasa Tarfi Mimishabdi, Parnasa means Nadin, does, you can collect from Mishubadim. Tanai Ksuva Loi Tarfi Mimishabdi, my kamash v'lona masv kol yom. Everybody knows the moitzin leparnasa, the ein moitzin lemazoinis. That in fact you can go and latch on to mishubodim for parnasa for not. So what we said yesterday as a dover poshut, that's the shaila that Rav is now posing to Rebbe. what's the halacha? So apparently in Rav's community, on Rav's time, this was not such a dover poshut yet. Remember, Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, so this is already, if you will, a later generation, and therefore, by his time, this became a force of mass and b'chol yayin. By the times of Rav, this wasn't an established halacha yet, and therefore Rav is asking, what's the din? Agan sheshibdu, they went and sold, or took the nechasim that they received as Yerushim from their father, and they use it as a mashkin mal, can she get the Isa nechasim from them or not? Have Yosef b'chia gamei, the b'chia was sitting there, and amalei, and he asked, machru, ay mishkinu. Rav doesn't identify what the shibud was. Was it in the form of a mechira that he sold it, that is the brother sold it, or mishkinu, did they use it as a collateral? Amalei, so now Rebbe says to Rav Chia, my nafkimina, who cares? Bein machru, bein mishkinu, moitzin leparnasa, bein moitzin lemazoinis, like we said yesterday, that in fact, her right to the Isur Nechasim preempts their right, and yes, she can go and latch on and say, I want my Isur Nechasim, and they have to go and pay it. Sai from machru, sai mishkinu, it really doesn't make a difference. Afreik timara, v'rav. Let's understand Rav. Rav obviously was a great scholar. When he wants to present his question, why doesn't he present it with clarity? If he's referring to a case where the Yorshim sold the property, why didn't he say, machru the property? Why does he use a shibdu, which is kind of an amorphous, vague, ambiguous type of term? Says Gemara, Rav was very smart. Rav Travaya Kamibale. He really wanted to ask both questions, the question of machru and the question of mishkinu. And he thought to himself, if I'm only going to ask the question in the form of machru, hanicha ishalach li demaitzian, if Rebbe is going to send me back a response and say machru, even though the brothers sold the property total, bakal michal kol, they sold the property, nevertheless she has a lien on that property for isur nechasim, she can go and take back from the mishubadim the isur nechasim, then koshke mishkino, then for sure, if they retained their equity in the property, all they did was use it as a collateral, so it really belongs to them, it's just that it's collateral for somebody else's loan, then for sure, if she can go mimoitzi from something which is sold, certainly something which was not sold, just for collateral, of course she'll be able to get her isur nechasim. And then I'll have a good answer to both questions. However, ishalachli, what happens if he responds and says, ein moitzien? No, if they sold the property, that's already sold, it's history, she cannot get the isur nechasim. Then akati mishkinu kamiboyli. Then I'll still be left with the question of mishkinu. Mishkinu, after all, they retained the equity in the property, they're just using it as collateral. Hopefully they're going to get it back at the end of the loan period, they'll pay off the loan, it'll be theirs. So I don't know what the halacha will be then. So therefore I have to go and find out the halacha mishkinu. So elamai iksim lamishkinu, you know what? If I'm going to go and write in my letter, what's the story about mishkinu if the brothers use this property as collateral? Ishalachli, if he responds, the ein moitzian, that she cannot go and use her isur nechasim claim to preempt and to go and supersede their lien on the property as a mashkin. Then a coach can mocha them for sure. If it was sold, then certainly she cannot go and collect her isur nechasim. And ishalachli moitzian, however, if he says you can be moitzi in the case of mishkinu, then akati machru come by li. Then I still won't know what the machru din is, because maybe you can only be moitzi in the case of mishkinu, because after all, the property belongs to them. They have the equity. Yeah, it's taka for collateral. Yo. But nevertheless, her isur nechasim claim preempts and supersedes their claim. And so therefore, whatever term I'm going to use, there's that question that I might still be hanging in terms of what the halacha is in both cases. If he paskins one way in the case of the machru, that you cannot be moitzi, that's maybe only by machru, because that was sold. The mishkinu, maybe you can be moitzi. If I'm going to ask about mishkinu, and he's going to go and say, yeah, mishkinu, you can be moitzi. What's it in my machru? I won't know. So says Rav, echtiv le shibdu de mashmahachi mashmahachi. I'm going to use such a vague, ambiguous term, shibdu. And then says Rashi, Rebbe is very smart and intelligent. Look in the fourth line, mashmahachi mashmahachi. Vahu, and Rebbe kishi yashiv chuvasai. When he responds, yefarish. Then he's going to say, you asked a question about shibdu. Well, it depends. If it happens to be machru, if it's mishkinu, and therefore he's going to explain, im shneim shavim loy, o yesh chilik b'neim, umau imra shneim. In other words, I'm going to ask the question with great brevity, and Rebbe in his great Chachma will know how to answer and say, well, it depends, maybe Machu Azai, maybe Mishkan Azai. And therefore, that's why he asked in the form of Shibbutz.
It's interesting that Rebbe would have been stressed, Rav would have been stressed dialogue with Rebbe, in other words, it was, you see, his time really is a time for Chachma.
Not necessarily Palik, but he was.
Yeah.
Well, historically, Rav was an overlap from one of the last of the Tanoic era, and one of the first one of the Amoraim era. Absolutely correct. So, whether or not he has the status of Palik, the Gemara as a court of last resort, whenever we ask Akasha and Rav from the Mishnah of Brisa, we don't have a Teretz, we say Rav Tanu Palik. But that's not a common occurrence, and we have a couple of times.
I mean, the overlap. I didn't realize they had this. Always had they had dialogues.
Well, Rav said he was this youngest judge in the Beis Din of Rebbe, and he started with him so that he wouldn't be influenced. That's how we know. I think it's in Sanhedrin. That's how we know that you start from the most junior justice to deliver the verdict, so that they won't be intimidated by the senior justices.
Very good. Mar says, "Maschilim natzat." Start from the side. You don't go directly to the chief justice. You ask the lower justices first. Very good.
But if the girl has a lien,
mm-hmm.
why is this a question? A lien that predates.
Very good question. So, Mitzvah, when we get down to the third wide line, there's going to be a machlokes between Ameimar and Ravashi, whether this is in fact she's a balas choiv and therefore she has a lien, or whether she's just a yoreshes. Whether she has a din of Yerusha.
Thank you.
Mitchum, we'll get to it in another 15 lines or so. Anyway, but this is so far the psak of Rebbe, which is consistent with what Rebbe said yesterday. Because the Gemara said, Om Ravuna Om Rebbe, Parnasa Eina Kitanai Ksuva, Mayine Kitanai Ksuva, Inayma the Ila Parnasa Tari Mishabdi, Inayma the Dari Mishabdi, that Parnasa, meaning Nad, is Tari Mishabdi. Well, everybody knows that. And so this is Rav Huna saying in the name of Rabbi, and the Gemara is saying it's clear that Parnasa is Torah Mishabdi, but that was Rav's question. The Rav asked Rabbi. Tosfos Tak asks yesterday, why didn't Rav know it on his own? He said apparently in the times of Rav that this was not so meforshim yet. See, if you look at Rashi, the Tosfos of Masim Chol Yoim, then getting down to the end of the Tosfos, the May Rav li if Shita Oisahiro Adain. Even though the Gemara says, well, Masim Chol Yoim. Yeah, it was not Masim Chol Yoim in Rav's time, it was only Masim Chol Yoim in Rav Huna's time or in later days. Anyway, but that's what Rabbi Paskat is consistent with yesterday. The answer, Nadin, you can get from Mishubat.
Did Rav Huna hear this from Rabbi?
Unlikely, because I think he was another door. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, and Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi. So.
Rav Huna lived above him, right?
Rav Huna lived in, yeah, I guess so. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. So Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing with Rebbe, and he says Echadze v'Echadze. Now his Echadze v'Echadze is not referring to Machru or Mishkenu, but he's referring to Echad leParnasa, meaning not the Echad leMezoinus. Aside from Mezoinus purposes, aside from Nadin purposes, you cannot go and take from Mishubot. Iboilu, Rabbi Yochanan lo yishmielei hod Rebbe, v'yishmielei habe mekabalei, oidil mishmielei v'lei mekabalei. Rabbi Yochanan obviously was junior to Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan was a drop later than Rav. And therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan is now arguing with Rebbe's psak, is a pshat that he didn't hear of Rebbe's psak, Bishmiel Lehama Makabale, he would say, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, if he paskin, XYZ, who am I to go and argue with him? Oidilma Shmiel, he actually heard the psak from Makabale, but he was not happy with the psak, and therefore he disagreed. It's a question of how Rabbi Yochanan can disagree with Rav, because even though we find that, not with Rav, with Rebbe, even though Rav Tanu Palik, and maybe once in Shasi Mor says Shmuel is also in that category, but Rabbi Yochanan certainly is not in that category. And you remember all of that because of the Tosis back in Daf Ches, I'm sure you all recall it, that Tosis says that about Rabbi Yochanan, we do not say that he's a Tanahu Palik. That was Tosis in Ches Omer Aleph. See, last choices on the Yomid of Tanahu Palik. Rav is a Tanahu Palik. That's choices. Leboy lishnuya kitanya hahi bebechas amazik and mishani the Rabbi Yochanan the niraloi doichik lahamekei the noichloi tvei loimad the Palik. Umidloi ka'omar Rabbi Yochanan Tanu Palig, Yesh Lechiyas Rabbi Yochanan Moira Haya. The Abatana have a Mishani, because Mishami L'Rav. In other words, the Gemara talks about the Rav Tanu Palig. Why don't we say the same thing about Rabbi Yochanan? From the fact that Miloikama, since the Gemara doesn't say Rabbi Yochanan Tanu Palig, is a Yechocha that Rabbi Yochanan is a Moira. If he would be a Tana, the Gemara could have said, just like by Rav, Tanu Palig. Say the same thing about Rabbi Yochanan. So you see, you cannot say about Rabbi Yochanan Tanu Palig. Anyway, the Toys brings out the Rai from Sanas and Ozir. But the point is, so this was Shver, the Gemara on the surface. In fact, the Rabbi Kiva Aiga and the Chedush Rabbi Kiva Aiga says, he doesn't understand the Gemara. How can the Gemara go and even pose such a question? He heard of Rabbi's Psak, and he wasn't Mekabel it. So perhaps what the Gemara is really saying is that Rabbi Yochanan had another source, another Makari, had a Mishnah, had a Brisa somewhere else, and therefore it's not that, who, oh, me, Rabbi Yochanan against great Rabbi. He meant to say, I heard Rabbi's Psak, but I have a Brisa, I have a Tisefta, I have a Rambam, I have a Chuvis Chsum Zoifer, I have another Makar to tell you differently. Anyway, but that's Imur Shaila. Now, did he actually hear of Rabbi and he disagreed? Or maybe he didn't hear of Rabbi's Psak, but had he heard, he would certainly be Mekabel. So Toshima, let's see, the Itmar. And now we're going to bring a memra of Rabbi Yochanan. Which state? Misha Meis, the person passed away. Biniach Shtei Banes. Uben. He left over three children, two daughters and one son. Vikod Marishoyne ben Notla, so before anything happens, further in the Gemara, obviously it's the ben that is Yoyrish Ulan Achasim, because that's what it says in the Torah. If there's a ben, he takes over. But now the two Banois, they have the right to their Isur Nechasim. Fine. So the ben now is in charge of the Yerusha. Vikod Marishoyne ben Notla is in the Chasim. Baruch Hashem, the first daughter, got engaged, got married. Baruch Hashem, a wonderful Shidduch. She married a young man from Beit Shemesh. And really, really, very, very, very special. And she got her Isur Nechasim. And now the second one is standing in line, hoping also to find her Beshed. And she didn't have a chance to be Goyva Ad Shemesabeth. Unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, the brother passed away. Suddenly, it was terrible. Ah, the Levi with thousands of people. Anyway, Balamaisa, what happened to this point? After the Shiv is over, after the Shloshim is over, Baruch Hashem, the second daughter now becomes a Kala, and she would like to also get Isur Nechasim. But she doesn't really need the Isur Nechasim because now she is a 50% Yoreshes because the brother that passed away had no children and the only Yorshim that are left are the two girls. So that being the case...
He doesn't go to the brother of the father?
He's dead. He's dead. Or the
children. No, but it doesn't go out.
To the uncle, the grandfather, other male relatives?
Apparently in the case there were no other relatives except for these two sisters. So we don't have to worry. If you want to know all the Nerech Nachleis Mitchum, we get to Yesh Nachlin and Baba Basra, we'll go into that in much greater detail. But for our purposes, there's nobody else on the scene, just the two girls. Nebuch, the brother, passed away. And now we have two choices.
Children.
No, the son passed away. That's really what made it so sad. That's why I told you a thousand people there. Nebuch, no kids and nobody. But Baruch Hashem, the two sisters sat Shiva, and now the Shiva is over, and now we have to talk about money. Now the Simcha. Okay, so now the question is about the money. Oh, so now there are two possible options over here. Option number one is that daughter number two says, first give me my Yisr Nechasim, and then we'll split up whatever is remaining. On the other hand, the first daughter says, no, we happen to be now the Yorshim. You know who's entitled to get an Yisr Nechasim? A person who's not a Yorish. When the Yerusha falls for the boys. So the Chum said, oh, we want the girls to get married. They should go and get a nun. They have a right to go and extract Isur Nechasim from the boys. But now they are the Yorshim. They don't have to extract it from anywhere. They're the Yorshim. So therefore, we're going to split it 50-50. And you'll take your Isur Nechasim from the 50%. Right? That's the dispute now between the two.
She loses 5%.
Okay, good. She loses 5%, right? So now it says the Gemara. So what are we going to do about this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnia Vitra. The second one loses. In other words, she does not get the 10%, but rather she splits the Yerusha between the two of them. 50-50, and from that 50% that she gets, she'll go and take her Isur Nechasim. Reb Chanina was not happy with that psak. It's Amar Reb Chanina. G'doyle mizu Amar. Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand what you're saying. After all, we heard even a much greater chidush. What's the greater chidush? Moitzin leparnasa ve'in moitzin lemazoinis. That you can be moitzin, in other words, you're allowed to go and take from mishubadim, property that was sold, which is no longer in the Yorishim's possession. And you can go and take the parnasa for nadin, you can take Isur Nechasim from there. The ad amris shnia vitra, in this case, after all, the Nechasim are here, they were not sold. They were not memushkin. They were not given as a collateral for a loan. They're all here intact. And if that's the case, madach, in a case where you say that a girl can go and extract her 10% from mishubadim property that was sold is no longer in the estate, then certainly if there are nechassim in the estate, shouldn't she be able to latch on to those nechassim and say, I want my isra nechassim before we subdivide it 50-50? That was Rav Chanina's kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara interrupts and says, Diem Isa, if we held that Rabbi Yochanan was not familiar with this halacha of Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan immediately should have answered, Nei Malay Manama, who said? You're saying, Gedoylim Izu Omru Maitzila Panasa. Vejot, who says that you go and take Nadin from Mishubadim? In fact, if you go back to Rabbi Yochanan, about 10 lines earlier, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Echad Zevi, Echad Zevi, Ein Moitzin, you don't take it from Mishubadim. Who's the one that said you can go from Mishubadim? That was Rabbi, Rabbi of yesterday, Rabbi on the top, in responding to the letter of Rav. So, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, Rabbi Chanina, where are you coming from? I never heard that. Ken Ishayin. By the fact that he didn't go and answer, in other words, Neimulei, he should have said back to him, Man Amra, who's the one that said these words that you can meet Tzilin Parnas? Since he didn't say that, is the Chalachoyra Asimin that he had heard about it, that Rebbe said it, and he wasn't the Kabbalit. And therefore, when Reb Chanina repeated it, okay, Masel Tov, Shkoyach, I thank you for telling me the story about Rebbe, but you know, Ichalish with Rebbe, we're not on the same page, we disagree. So you are with Dilma Lo'ilim Lo'ishmi'elei. Maybe in truth he did not hear Rebbe's psak. V'chishmi'elei kibbel. Eventually when he did hear it, he was mekabel. He said, no, that's what Rebbe said. But l'dayti eitzel the great Rebbeinu HaKadosh, and therefore I agree. V'shani hasam. Maybe this is an exception to the rule. The ikka revach pesa. What means revach pesa? The whole reason for isin achasim is so that the young lady should have money to be able to go and be presentable and hopefully find a proper shidduch, because she'll be attractive not only in her spiritual beauty and her physical beauty, but also because, Baruch Hashem, she has a couple of dollars. So that's because that's the reason for the whole tikkun of Isra Nechassim. Here, Baruch Hashem, that she's wealthy, we don't even need the tikkun of Isra Nechassim. So it could very well be that Rabbi Yochanan Taka heard of Rabbi. He didn't change his mind. He said, no, if that's what Rabbi says, yes, Nadin, you can go and even latch on to Mishubadim property that's been sold. Here we don't have to latch on to anything. Baruch Hashem, she's a confirmed millionaire. She's now a 50% Yoreshes of this nice large estate, and that's why we don't, for that we weren't misakin the din of Isra Nechassim. Maybe that's the reason why. What happens? What happens if she was walking down the street and she found a beautiful, beautiful diamond, and there were no simanim, and it was a place where there were no Jews or whatever, so there was no chiv to go and return it to anybody, or she tried to return it, nobody had a simon, whatever it was. So she found this mitzvah, and therefore she became a multimillionaire, or for that matter, she just won the lottery, and she became a billionaire, or whatever it is. The ikar of a beisa, hachanamit v'yivinu isin chosim, you're going to tell me, said the din of isin chosim doesn't apply? The din of isin chosim applies to every single young lady that Chas v'shalom, the father passed away, we have the Yisayimah, and the Bezal and Masakin, that the brothers should go and now, shtel tzu, that they should go and give her Yisra Nechassim. It doesn't talk about your millionaire, Nish millionaire, just a din of 10% across the board. It's an objective standard. So therefore, what are you telling me? That maybe Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rebbe, but here it's different, Rebbe Chbeisa. Are you going to tell me the same thing if she is independently wealthy from other sources? Amaleis, he told him, no. And Rebbe Chbeisa mehani nachzika amina. I'm talking about the very nechassim that you want to go and siphon off 10% and give it to her Isra Nechassim. Those very nechassim belong to her. It's not totally subdivided yet, but she has 50%. So when I said revach base, I don't mean that she happens to be independently wealthy. I just meant that from these very nechassim that we're talking about, that you want to give her priority to take over the 10% first, those nechassim belong to already 50%. And in that case, the Chachamim didn't make a special tikkun of Isra Nechassim. Yeah.
Wow. I find it interesting that we're not bringing up here at all at what point her shibud kicks in, at what point she becomes zakai on this. Obviously, she's not engaged yet, because if they'd already made the shidduch, so they would have already promised the money.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, she has a claim on the money.
Right.
But does it kick in when she's born? Mm-hmm. Does it kick in It clearly doesn't kick in when she gets engaged, because she clearly has claim on it, but we don't bring that up. That would seem to me to be a very critical fact.
Where's your shibud?
Right, but is there shibud before, or it's not even...
So the question that you're asking, you're more or less paraphrasing Gemara's question in another 10 lines or so.
Okay, so wait.
No, I just want to show it to you. I don't want you to think I'm just pushing you away, and then we'll forget about it. In the middle of the wide lines, you'll see the line begins the ishtik, and then continue on two or three words later. Okay, the amris. You have that? The amris balas choivava. Now that you tell me, is it balas choivava? The abba or the achi? When does it kick in? When the father was still alive, or after? See. Now you know why girls want husbands from Beit Shemesh.
The case
we just had.
And the brother not died.
Yes.
The second sister, when she gets her 10%, is it the original 10%? The first sister, 100%, or 10%? You know, minus what the sister took.
We had that yesterday.
Yeah, okay. We had a discussion. That's why I felt so bad. You weren't here yesterday. But the answer is
7.5%. It's like Truman Meister, where the lady gets 10%.
No, then the reality question, the reallocates.
Ah, so the Gemara said yesterday that if all the girls come simultaneously, they will say Baruch Hashem, we all became kalois. Then what you do is you give the first one 10%. Let's start off with 100. Get the first one 10%. The next one would get, of course, 9, which means the 10% of whatever remaining.
Right.
If there were only two girls, then we would go and reallocate, take a 10 plus a 9. 10 and 9 is roughly 19. Split it down the middle, give her 9.5, and there 9.5. However, if they come seriatim, consecutively, first comes the first one, and then a year later comes the second one, and the first one gets 10% from the original 100, and then the second one gets 10 from whatever is there at that time. If it's talking only 90, someone only get 9. Well, that was the discussion yesterday. Yeah. Anyway, so let's get back to the Gemara now. With this, we have concluded Rebbe and the Shaila the Rav asked, and Rebbe Yochanan, and the discussion between Rebbe Yochanan and Rebbe Chanina, and now we start a new shtickle. So put two dots here. Omer Meimah.
The other interesting thing that I see the Gemara doesn't bring up is there's no discussion that half of the 10%, everybody agrees she's achai.
Right.
Yeah, because she's going to get a Zerusha anyway.
Vada.
So the machlek is on the other five.
That's what Bill said about the five.
Right, so nobody says chayke.
Exactly. Should we make chokin?
Why? What's in the chavir al-varaya? It belongs to somebody. Why are we saying chokin?
Okay, so therefore we continue on. Omer Meimar, third line. Bas Yereshes Haba. A daughter, is not a balas choiv. She is a Yereshes. Now you're wondering, what difference does it make? Sounds like
timing.
Legal sophistry. Yeah. No, okay, she's a Yereshes, she's a Balas Choyv. What difference does that make? Can't even use those terms, right? So Zog Timor, the two practical nafkiminis. Omalei Ravashi le'amema. Amema is the one that said Bas Yereshes. Ravashi is now posing the question. Ilu boi le'saluka bezuzi, hachanami le'motzi le'saluka. If the Bas was considered, when we say Yereshes, we're talking about vis-a-vis her Isser Nechasim, that the Chachamim empowered her that she gets the 10%. Did they also establish her as a Yereshes, Midrabanan? Midrabanan, she doesn't get a Yerusha, Midrabanan, she gets it. Or do we say she's a Balas Choyv? She is a creditor like all creditors. And therefore, what will be the Nafkimina? What happens if the brothers say, instead of giving you 10% of the Yerusha, which include real estate and metalklin and cash and this and that, the other thing, you know what we're going to go and do? We're going to be Mesalki with Zuzi. We're going to value. We already said that vis-a-vis the Issa Nechosim, you only can give from Karkois. That was yesterday's Gemara, not from Metalkalin. So we're going to go and value the Karkois, and we'll say, this piece of real, all the real estate together is worth $10,000. We'll give you 10%. We'll write you a check for $1,000, and Sholem Ayisra. Now, if it would be a Baal Choyv, then for sure you can go and do that, because a Baal Choyv is not really entitled to real estate. He's only entitled to get back the payment on his loan. Any lien that he had was just as insurance, if you will, a guarantee she get paid. But certainly you can be Mesalik about Choy Bezuzi. Are you telling me this Bas Yereshes? She can insist, I'm a Yereshes. I want, if there are 10 properties and they're all worth the same amount, I want one of the properties. Don't give me cash. I want to have a piece of real estate. Is that what you're telling me? And that's exactly what I'm telling you. Because she's a Yereshes, you cannot go and be Mesalik Bezuzi. Here's a check. She's entitled to 10%. And then they asked the second question, asked Ravashi. Before we talk about writing a check, what happens if there are 10 pieces of real estate, like we said, and they said, instead of giving you 10% of every one of these pieces of real estate, some of them happen to be in choice AAA neighborhoods, 5th Avenue and 42nd Street, it's worth millions of dollars, or may it be somewhere in Bedford-Stuyvesant or some other neighborhood where the prices are not going sky high yet. It might go eventually, but at the moment they're still a little bit lower. So the question is, can they go and just be misalika and say, here, yeah, they're all appraised for the same value, you take this piece of property, it's yours? Can they do that? And yes, in fact, you can do that. Why can you do that? I'm sorry, you cannot. He asked, they could not go and give her a property because she's a Yoreshes and she's not a Balas Chayv. And that's exactly right. Since she is a Yoreshes, she has the right to demand a piece of the rock, a piece of the actual real estate. That's what a Meimer said. Ravashi, to pose these two rhetorical questions, respectfully disagrees. And Ravashi, Omer, Bas Balas Chayv Avya. No, she's only a Balas Chayv. She's not a Yoreshes. And therefore, answering those two questions,
she can be paid with cash.
She can be paid with cash.
That's,
or pay her with
equivalent.
That's for the 10%.
For that, everything we're talking about is the 10%. 10%. She can go give her a check for the 10%, or give her one of the karkois and say, here, you take this for your 10%. They have the right to do that because she's a balas chayv. And in fact, something more about a meimer hadabei. Eventually, my meimer himself changed his mind. How do I know? A lady came in front of him. She wanted to go and claim her 10%. And I saw from his mindset that in fact, if the Yorshim would have said, we want to give you a check, they could have done that and a Meimar would have agreed. But how do we see his mindset? After all, how can you read somebody's thoughts? The Shami, we heard, and he heard, Ammeimar, Mi'achi, those brothers that were there, to have a Ka'amrila, that they said to her, Ilhavalon Zuzi, if we had money, if we had cash, Salikna Bazuzi, we would have given you the cash, and Shalom Al Yisrael, and Gitzahain, the Ishtik. And Ammeimar was quiet, for Le'amaluhu Le'mili. And Le'choyra, he should have stood up and said, ah, Rabbi, you're wrong. That's not the halacha. You can't call me Misalik Bazuzi. She has a right to 10%. She's a Yereshes. She's not a Balas Choyf. Since a Meimer didn't respond in that fashion, Ishtika Kohido, that he agreed that in fact they are right, because a Meimer eventually changed his mind. He holds like Ravashi, she's a Balas Chayv. By the way, Toises brings a raya from this Gemara, from the second Toises, that if a dayan is sitting in Bezin Shtibu, and one side says to the other, Chevra, we could go and do this and that and the other thing, you know, we have that power, that the dayan does not have a right to be quiet if what they're saying is Shaloi Aliba de Hilchasa. He has to go and say, ha, oh, what you're saying is just
bluff
and puffery. It's not true. That's not the case. That's the second choice. See, ishtik mikan rogler bein etam kishol yoyishu b'din v'yechem mibali dinam megazim lechaveroi, as you say, puffery and bluff. V'oyim mekach v'kach t'schayev li b'din rogler. Oh, how we get this? Bein etam loyimer sheker atadoy. It's not true. Kilo yischayev shem ein loy the dayan loyimer came. If the dayan can remain silent, what's the right for a Meimer? A Meimer says, "Lot is lost in Zog Vasevil." You know, if he wants to talk and talk, there are a lot of people that say talk and fake news. So the fact that he more brings a right and the Ishtik is the Chasim and that he was Masim. Okay, so now we've said that everybody now agrees, Baruch Hashem, she's a Balas Chayv. And now we get to our distinguished friend, Bahasha the Amris Balas Chayv Avya, the Abba Oydiachi. When does the Chayv begin? When the father was still alive, or only after the father passed away, and when the sons are alive? Who cares? The father. Ooh, let me from the pain of the shaloi b'shvua or dafke ziburius b'shvua. My, what's the more question over here? So Rashi explains that if you're going to go and tell me that this was originally a choiv of the father, and now we're not collecting from the father, we're now collecting from the children, from the assignment. First of all, we have a rule. Ein nifroim minichsi yisoyimim ela min haziburiyas. And we have a second rule. Ein nifroim minichsi yisoyimim ela bishvua. So if they yarshined this choiv, and now she as a balas choiv is trying to collect on it, so they're not the original obligors, they're just the yorshim, the obligors. No, from yisoyim you have to go and take only from ziburiyas, and you can only talk mitashvua. However, if you're going to tell me that the choiv started with them, that they are the real bal choiv. And then a bal choiv can always collect from Beinonis, as well as you don't need to make a Shavuot. The whole Shavuot is because the Yisoyimim say, what do we know about it? We just came on the scene today.
But in the case of this girl, if it's a question of her getting near, of getting her dowry, the Shavuot is to make sure that the Baal Chov wasn't already paid. Mm-hmm. Here it's clear she wasn't already paid.
Why not? Maybe she's already out for some. Maybe the father said, I know these boys, I wouldn't trust them for a dime.
He gave her a pocket of envelopes.
Exactly.
Okay.
An unmarked envelope with a couple of shkolim inside.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's been holding on to this for the last 20 years, waiting to get married. Anyway, so Zokti, one of the main afkim, and the Megibet, the Benin Shuloi Bishwar, if they happen to be Bali Choiv themselves, then you get Benis without a Shvuah. And if it's from the father, Ziborius will be Shvuah. Mai, so what's it then? Toshima! Oh, so you want to tell us a real life story. The Ravina Agve Liberati Dravashi, Mimar Bered Ravashi, Benis Vishloi Bishvuah, Mibered Rav Sama Bered Ravashi, Ziborius Bishvuah. What's going on over here? Ravashi had two sons and a daughter. Maybe he had other sons and daughters, but Agam only focuses on these three children. One of the sons was Mar. His name, of course, was Mar Baravashi. Another son was Rav Sama. Rav Sama Bered Ravashi. And he had this young lady, the sister. Now what happened was that unfortunately Ravashi passed away, leaving over this daughter. The daughter wants to get now Isur Nechasa. At the same time, unfortunately, Rav Sama also passed away. The way Rashi poses the question, he says that Rav Sama passed away even before Rav Ashi passed away, Bechayev. Okay, so now when Ravashi passed away, who are now the Yorshim? Who are going to go and get the Yerusha? Well, number one, Mar Bar Ravashi, because that's his son. And number two, the children of Rav Sama, since Rav Sama is no longer on the scene. Just like by Benoy Slavchad, right? Slavchad got a double chedik, not only the daughters, not only got from Slavchad, also Ben Chayfer, because, etc. Anyway, because Slavchad predeceased.
That was the Chav.
Yeah, that was the Chav thing, more in Yeshnach. But anyway, beginning back to our Gemara over here. So our Gemara tells us now she has to collect from two groups of Yorshim, if you will. One group is Mar, and the other one is the children of Rav Sama Bered Ravashi. So now, how is she collecting? So Ravina said, I'll paskin the shayla. From Mimar Bered Ravashi, you're going to go and take Bein Yishloi B'Shvur. Why? Because you're a direct balas choiv of Mar. Because after all, the Gemara is now being poishit that it's not a choiv of the father, it's the choiv of the boys. So you can get directly from him Bein Yishloi B'Shvur. However, when we're talking about the son of Rav Sama Bered Ravashi, who initially had the choiv, it was on Rav Sama, because he was a brother, just like Mar. And therefore, if we want to go and take from Rav Sama, how do we have to go and take? Rav Sama's Nishdu. It's the Yisoyim, the children of Rav Sama. Oh, the children of Rav Sama, it's Yisoyim. Yisoyim. Ein Ephraim, Nichzi Yisoyim, Elmen Ziburis, Ein Bishvur. So they gave Ziburis Bishvur.
When Rav Sama predeceased his father, doesn't the obligation then return to Rav Ashi?
It's an excellent question. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi is, it's soft font. In our Gemara, next to the Tois is Rid, and you see it says Rav Ashi Mes,
yes.
Or Mes Rav Sama Benoi Bichayev.
Yeah, right.
He passed away in his lifetime. Ukshibos Bidli Pora, not the Michal Kishlomar Rav Ashi, Shoyekayom, Beinish Loi Bishwur, Alma Balas Choyv the Achihav. Next Rashi, my brother Rav Sama Zaburius, the Shibalas Choyv Shal Aviv Hoysa, Shahoye Achia. The real Baal Choyv was the father, that is Rav Sama, who was the brother, the half brother. He passed away, so now she came from the Yisoyim, and that's why she only gets Ziburis. So that's the Girsa in our Gemara. However, this is very problematic for Barry's reason. If, in fact, Rav Sama would have passed away after Rav Ashi, yes, then I could have said that she is a Baal Choyv directly of her brother. Yes. The brother passed away, they're not Yisoyim. Okay, Sataka Ziburis Metashvur. However, if you're telling me that Rav Sama predeceased, so then when Rav Ashi passed away, who were the Yisoyimim now that had the initial chiyuv of giving the Isur Nechasim? Ma'ar, and on the other hand, these children of Rav Sama. So they're the original Yarshim. They're not the children of the Yarshim. They're the original Yarshim. So in Bazai, what's going on in the Mora? Even from them it should be L'choira, with Beinus, Ushloi Bishvua.
Yes.
So this is not my Kasha. The Ritva already asked the Kasha. And if you notice, in our Gemara is a small little dalet next, yes, to the Bechayev. Did you notice that in the,
yes,
Rashi?
Yes.
I don't know if you have it in your Gemara. Don't feel discriminated against over here. In our Gemara we have over here a dalet Bechayev. And that dalet gets up from Sirs Hashas. Achrav Yaivit. If you look in the back of the Gemara, Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, it's a grais. Grais, it's a mistake. You should really go and say, Benoi Achrav. With that, we don't have a problem. Yitaka passed away subsequent, after his father passed away. So now the initial choyv was on Mar and Rav Sama. Then Rav Sama passed away, so now the children are Yisai. It's not only that, if you have over here the Tosis Rid on the left-hand margin, you see it's the first of the wide lines that says, Toshima, Ravina Agvi Librate, Rav Lazar. It's a little different one. It's two lines in the bottom. You have the Toshima, the Toshima, the beginning of the line. And then continue once. In this case, Ravina Agvi Brata. Minmar Bravashi Shma Pirish, Rev Ravashi. Viniach Shnei Bonin. And he left over two sons, Ubas and a daughter. Mar Brav Sama. Before she got another, now she wants to get from Rav Ravashi and from the children of Rav Sama. So you see, directly Mamish, just like Rav Yankov Emden says Pshat in the Rashi, that's what Tosfos Rit says. Hey, Taka passed away later, not passed away before. Anyway, it's a very gishmak, and we go back to the Gemara. See what you opened up this Pandora's box when you asked your question, when does it all happen? So this is a major, major halachic legal ramifications. Okay, Zuki Mori Yetzvayt, Sholach Lei Rav Nechemya B'Reid Rav Yosef. Everybody have that? About 10 lines at the bottom of the Amid. Sholach Lei Rav Nechemya B'Reid Rav Yosef. Sorry, what's the problem?
Zivoros Bishvua, he took with Zivoros Bishvua.
That was from the children of Rav Sama B'Reid Rav Ashi.
They're Yosomim, Bishvua.
5% she gets 10%. 5% she got from Mar Benish Shloibish
clean.
The other 5% from Rav Sama B'Reid Rav Ashi. Ziburis Mitashvua.
Okay, and then you say, but...
And then she got married, Hashem. Beautiful chassid.
But you said that he passed away after...
The question is, who passed away first? Right. Ravashi or Rav Sama?
Right.
The Lashon of our Rashi is Rav Sama passed away first. That's problematic. Why is it problematic? And it's already asked, as well as others, that means that when Ravashi passed away, and now the Isur Nechasim Choyv was Chal on the Achim, so it wasn't Chal only on Mar, it was no longer Chal on Rav Sama, because Rav Sama is Oilam Emes, so it's Chal now on the children of Rav Sama. So therefore, Mar and his nephews are exactly in the same category, that they are the original Bali Choyf. So now when she's collecting the original Bali Choyf, then you should go and get Beinus, Mishloi Bishvur.
Right.
So therefore, that's why they say that's a mistake in the Rashi, and really what we're talking about is if someone passed away subsequently. So when the original Choyf, when was the Choyf Chal? When did it attach?
After Mar.
As soon as Rav Ashi passed away, half on Mar, half on Rav Sama.
Right.
Now that Rav Sama passed away, so then the children of Sama, they are the Yisoyimim. And the Freud, and the Yisoyimim, Elam, and the Zibur, is Medishim. Very good.
The Mesa, because we're talking about the Kanas Lachamim.
Yes, yes.
So, why isn't it clear to everybody what the... When the Chachamim were Masak in this,
yeah.
They presumably took into account exactly when they create the Chol.
Mm-hmm.
The Chol.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that clear? Why don't we have a clear Masorah on
what the key? Was it written down?
Why do we have a million machlokes throughout Shas between Bisham and Mesil, between Abaye and Verova, between Yoich and Rish Lakish? Wasn't there a clear Masorah? Unfortunately, over the generations, and that's why Rabbi said we better codify it, because we don't, we're just going to add another 10 million machlokes. So write it all down, otherwise, really? There's a din of Isn Chasim. Who said that? I never heard that. Oh, it's written here in the Sessus Kudus. The Masorah, unfortunately, because of the pogroms, because of the Golas, because of Chol Beis Hamikdash, because of all the havoc and chaos that happened to Klal Yisrael over the generations, unfortunately, part of the Masorah was lost, and that's why we have all these problems. Anyway, so getting back to Agmara, Sholach Leir of the Chem, the Reid of Yosel, the Rabba Barafun, Zutra, Min Erdor, Ki Asi Ho Itzel Kamach, Ad Ve Isen Chosim, Afilu Mi Itz Trobol. What's this going on over here? So Rashi says that this lady is going to come to Rabba Rafuna. And she was probably felt a little bit uncomfortable, you know, nobody knows her. So Rav Nechemya sent with her a letter saying, do me a favor, this is a very nice, outstanding letter, a woman, she's a gansim yicheses, and she's a tsnua, and she's a kvuda, a choshiva lady, go and take care of her, give her a isna chosim. Now the ikar of our Gemara is telling you is, afilu mi istrabala, what's my istrabala? So Rashi says, that's the Moishev. You see Rashi parallel to the Gemara. Moishev amas harichayim k'moishev hein u'mikar koyich choshev lu. Ah, until now we were talking about a gansim shtickle about mishubodim. Now our Gemara is differentiating between metalkalin and between karkois. Where does she have her isan chosim? And that, by the way, was the second of the nafkiminis that we had yesterday in the Gemara when we started off Amravuna Amravabi Parnos Eni Kitanai Ksuva. So what was the second one? So in the middle, after the Masim B'chol Yoyim, V'yale de'ilu parnosa gav yinam metalkli, tonight k'suva mimerka koi. Parnosa meaning, not, you could even be going metalkli. However, this Gemara disagrees. Nechemiah said, no, you can only go and be goyve from karkois and not from metalkli. Where does he take this from? We had this machlokes already back in Daf and Aleph, but if you just want to remind yourself, if you turn to the Amud Beis, just for a short second, right before the Mishnah, Amar Rava, Hilchasa mimekarkoi v'loi mimetaltali, bein lemezoi, bein leksuva, bein leparnasa. Parnasa means nadin. So you want to collect nadin only from karka and not from metaltali. So that's the psak of the Gemara, and therefore Reb Nechemiah was with that psak, and therefore he said, you want to go and collect, I don't have any real karka. You can even take from Istrabala. Now, what's Istrabala? That's the Moshe of Amasar Echaim. That's the base of the mill. K'moishehem, like it is. U'mikarkoi choshevlo. Because it's attached to the ground, the way you use these mills is you first go and firmly cement them in the ground or with screws or whatever. So now that it's mechubel karka, it's a din of karka. So even though I hold you have to daka b'goyv min karka, not from metaltalin, but that's called karka, because it's attached to the ground, that's already enough. And we have a similar, Ravashi goes one step further. We would go and collect even from, what's that, amla de beisi, Rashi, from the rents of the karka. See the next Rashi, amla de beisi, schiris habata mimikakoi kasi. You have a real estate person who receives on a monthly basis rents from commercial or from residential customers or tenants or whatever, that's also considered to be mekarkois, even though it's not really traditional karkois, but that's already enough for purposes of... Okay, so maybe Taka goes with that svara. Right. Very good. So bottom line says, at this point you can go and get that for the nat. Sholichle, okay, now from here to the bottom of the yomen, on top of the yomen, is a very, very unusual case, where the Gemara is going to talk about, as we say, Shalach Rei Rav Onan le Rav Huna. Rav Onan sent the following letter to Rav Huna. He starts off the letter at the top. When we would start off a letter today, we would say, L'malas kvoyda Rav Agoyin HaTzadik, Rav HaMaforsim B'chol Tevel, Rav Huna. And he started off the letter, Huna Chavrin Shalom. Mm-hmm. Mean our friend Huna, Shalom Aleichem. Nice to see you. Morning. Okay. Now, he continues on in this letter. Ki asya ho itzel kamach. When this following lady who's carrying this letter with her comes in front of you, Agva isenachsi, please go and take care of her and give her the isenachos. Okay, that's the end of the first part of the story. How the Yosef Rav Sheshes is coming. Now, Rav Onan sent this to Rav Huna. Rav Sheshes is sitting there next to Rav Huna, and Rav Huna is obviously very upset. Omale. So now Rav Huna says to Rav Sheshes, Zil Eimale. I want you to go back now to Rav Onan and tell him in my name. Ubishamta Yehem Mandalay, Mandalay Omale. And if you're not going to repeat it word for word like I'm telling you, I put you into Shamta, into Chayim. I want you to say exactly what I'm telling you. Start off, come in the door and say, Onan, Onan. In other words, don't say Rav Onan, say Onan, Onan. Mimekarkoi, Mimetalkli. You said, I'm supposed to give you this and actually, how do you do it? Do you do from Karak or Metalton? Obviously, that's a hot issue, like we just said, from the Amid Beis and Rava, etc. Which one? And ask him at the same time, Uman Yosef Bein Marzicha Peresha. In a Bein Marzicha, who sits up front? What's a Bein Marzicha? We'll see in a moment. Okay, Rav Sheish has now had this duty, this chore, to go and tell Rav Anan. He was very uncomfortable with his duty, but the Chas Hashem, he didn't want to be excommunicated. So what did he do? How did Rav Sheish come to Rav Anan? Went to come to Rav Anan. Omale, he said to him, Rav Anan, first of all, I want you to know, Mar, meaning yourself, the master, Rabbi, you're a great Saruf. You're a great Saruf. I'm now coming on behalf of Rav Huna, who, as you know, is Rabbi the Rabbi. In other words, he's the grand rabbi. You're Taka Chushev Rav, no question about it, but you know, Rav Huna is from the Gdoli Hadar, he's the rabbi of the rabbi. The rabbi's rabbis. B'shamuti shomet man dole omale. And unfortunately, he said to me that he's going to put a chedem on me if I don't go and say the following words. The ivlav the shomit, and if it wouldn't be for that excommunication, I would never dare to go and say the following words. So he's trying to appease Rav Anan and say Rav Anan shouldn't jump on him. And now he's repeating what Rav Huna asked him to say. See, if you look at the last Rashi in the bottom, Omale Mar Rabba. He's talking to my Rabbah. I thought you're the Rabbah. Rav Huna Rabbah, but Rav Huna is even greater than you. He's trying to appease him. That he shouldn't scream at him. That he became a shliach to this disrespectful anan. So he wants to tell him, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. I'm stuck. My hands are tied behind my back. I have to give you this message. Okay, so what's the message? So back to three lines of the Bible. So, on, word for word. You see, he's very, very exact. A real yak. And then he asks, who sits in Be'mazicha Bereisha? Who sits in Be'mazicha? Anyway, as you can imagine, Rav Onan was not happy about this. That here, Rav Sheshes bursts in and says, Onan. So, Ozer Rav Onan, the Kami de Marukva, he went in front of the Marukva. Marukva he had a couple of days ago. Maybe he was a rich bezdin. He was the one that hidden with his wife inside the furnace. Yeah. Amalei. Chazin Mar Hechish Olech Li Rav Huna. Says now Rav Onan to Mar Ukva, look at this message that I got from Huna. Apparently it was in writing. And look what he wrote to me. Onan. You don't call me Rav Onan. Onan. Vioit. Marzicha Hechish Olech Li. He asked me this question. Who sits Bereish in the Bay Marzicha? I don't even know what Marzicha is. Amalei. So now Rav Mar Ukva said back to Rav Onan, Emily is he good for the overhead? Tell me the whole background. He only give me a part of the story. Start from the beginning. It's Omalei Hochi Vahochi Haba Maisa. I wrote a letter to him and I told him Huna Chavrin Shlim. And I asked him the question and now he's going back. Omalei. See, now Rav Mar Ukva is being critical of Rav Onan and he's saying, Gavrid Le Yoda Mainu Marzicha. If you don't even know the Pshat in this question, who sits in the Bay Marzicha Bereish, you don't even know the taitch of that. Sholach le Rav Huna, Huna Chavrin. You write to Rav Huna in such a disrespectful manner, Huna Chavrin. In other words, you deserve to be called Onan, because this is just, if you will, a retribution for referring to him. Payback, exactly. That's the end of the first part of the story. But now, Frank Morton.
What was the issue?
The initial issue was the disrespect that Rav Onan showed for Rav Huna by writing just Huna. Right?
Oh, he wrote that before a letter Huna.
Exactly. Back in the Yom Adal, if he wrote him a letter, Huna Chavrin Shlem, hey, good morning, my good friend Huna, how you doing? That's not the way you dress Rav Huna. You go and write Harav going at Tzadik HaKodesh. You don't go to Huna.
He didn't even learn from Rabbi. He's going to Rabbi. Who knows?
Exactly. Anyway, so the point is...
That's right. It's above us. It's above
us. It says in his name. He must have heard from maybe he was in the last... Maybe he went to one shear.
Okay, whatever it was. But bottom line is, Rav Onan spoke disrespectfully in his letter to Rav Huna. And Rav Huna said to Rav Sheshes, give him back in kind and go and say Onan. And Onan was upset. And he went to Mar Ukva. And Mar Ukva says, you don't even know what a Marzach is. And when you speak to Rav Huna, speak with him with greater respect and don't say Huna Chav. Okay, all of that is fascinating. But my Marzicha, what is Taka this Marzicha business? So Timur Ovel, Marzicha means Nebuch Beis HaOvel. Meaning he was asking him, in the Beis HaOvel, you have a Sudas Havro, or you have other Sudas. Sudas Havro initially was outside, afterwards was inside, whatever. Anyway, at that table where they're eating and they're talking and they're schmoozing, who should be Beroish at the table? That was the question in the Bei Marzicha, in the Beis HaOvel. How do I know that that's what Marzicha means? Tachsivat HaPasik. A pasuk in the Torah in Yirmiyo, which then Yirmiyo koyimar Hashem al tovoi beis marzeach. Don't go into beis marzeach. The whole pasuk over there is referring to that the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyo Navi, when someone passes away, don't go be menachem avol. Why not? Because this is a nevuah that the time will come among Klal Yisrael that there'll never be so many niftarim all in one shot that people are just going to give up on being menachem avol because. Everybody is so overwhelmed with all the mesim, nobody will be able to go and be menachem anybody. It reminds you of stories about how people died in the ghettos or in the Second World War. There were just so many hundreds and thousands of people dying on a daily basis. Who could be menachem over any of the family members? Just impossible. So that's Nebuch what Yirmiyah Novi Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiyah, don't even bother going menachem over in the base Mazeach, in the base of. But the Maisa, we still have our question. Who is Mesa Baraj? The person who's Nebuch in mourning, he sits at the head of the table. Shemr, it says in the Pasik. Evchar Darkam. Now, this is a new Pasik, a Pasik in Eoiv. Shteit Gav Eoiv. The Pasik in Eoiv.
I'm sorry.
Nothing happened. We're still friends. Shemr, Evchar Darkam, the Eshev Roish. I'm going to go and choose the path, and I'm going to sit there at the head. The Eshkoin. Kamelech Bigdud, like a king sitting among his troops, Kasher Avelim Yenachem. Now, the way the Pasuk sounds like the Gemara is trying to bring a raya that Irav is saying, I'm going to sit Baroish in Nebuch the Beis HaOvel, just like Kasher Aveli Menachem, like when is Menachem and Ovel. Which sounds like it's the Menachemim, those people that are coming to console and give Nicham Avelim, they're the ones that sit Baroish, not the Ovel, because he says, I'm going to sit Baroish just like the person who's Menachem, the Avelim, Kasher Aveli Menachem. You're trying to bring a raya that the Ovel sits Baroish. If anything, it's the Menachman that sits Baroish, not the Ovel. Although in our Girsa, our Kriksiv, it says Yenachem. However, one could read it Yenucham, and Yenucham would mean that they are the recipient of the Nichumei Avelim, and therefore that's the way you should understand the Pasuk. Rashi says that the raya is because it was with a Pasuk. Then after the Nundish, perhaps it'd been an Aleph or a Hey, you can look at Rashi at the top. He goes with a little bit what we used to call Diktuk Rashis when you're learning Chumash and you didn't understand the Rashi. That's a Diktuk Rashi. Anyway, so Rashi says that in truth, you should put an Aleph over there if it was really Yenachem. If it doesn't have an Aleph, it's Yenucham. In Yiddish, by the way, in Yiddish, as you know, there are no Nekudois, so when you want to put in an A or an Osan, you put in an Aleph. And if you want to go and put in a Segelsan, you put in an Ayin. So here too, Yenachem, it should have been with an Aleph. It doesn't say with an Aleph, and therefore you could read it Yenucham, and therefore what we're saying is that the Ovel Taka sits Roish. Kasher Avelim Yenucham, like an Ovel that is receiving the Tanchumen from the Menachme Ovel. Yenucham said, okay, that's one right. Marzutram, I have another right. Mihoch is another person. Sor Marzeach Sruchim. What means Marzeach? Mar Vizach. Mar Vizach is Nebuch, the person who's an Ovel, who's Nebuch. Mar b'merinus, and Nebuch, he feels bitter, he feels in sorrow, v'zach, and also he is detached from what's going on because he's disoriented, Nebuch, by the facts that Nebuch, a close family member, passed away. Nasasar, he will be like the prince, the seruchim. Here the seruchim means like the serach ha'oidev, by the Rias HaMishkan. Serachoy means those that come into the Menachem Avel. He's going to be the Tsar, the prince in front of all of them, by his sitting up front, and all the others sitting on the sides and in the back. So that's a second raya that the Avel sits at the front. Now, all of this is fine. The obvious question is, why would this be the second question that Rav Huna tagged along to the question of Rav Onan Mikarkoy and Metaltli? He said, and go and ask him, Man Yosebi Mazicha Bereshah. So on the surface, it's to go and show you, Rav Hanan, are so insignificant compared to me. You don't even know push the taich words, what means marzicha. And you should know it from Tanakh. Apparently you don't know Tanakh. And you don't even know Ivra, you don't know marzicha. That's the push.
Which is a pala.
He could be answering his question.
Well,
the remnants.
Well, what's
he? Because the Avel is going to be the boss, mm-hmm. the same
right. Right.
Who sits up front.
Right.
She has priority. She has priority. Shiva.
Aha. So why are we saying that Avelim? Because they're all Avelim, because the father passed away, so you sign them. Well, very nice.
But Hitashka tells him in such a way as the remnants. To say, if you don't understand, if you can't understand the answers, so just know where you're sitting in relation. She could be giving cover the whole.
Good, good. The art scroll brings, I think, Bashim the Maram shift a little bit differently than yours. I in Panam Latoya, the many different shopping. So he says what he tells them is that you're Rav Onan, it's taka true that you happen to be the Rav in your community, in your town, and therefore you have the title Rav Onan, but not necessarily the one that sits in the first place. Is the most mechubad, just like the Ovel when he sits in his place. Yet temporarily he sits Baroish, but that doesn't mean he's the most mechubad. There could be, as the Gemara brings, Seruchim, Rashi used the expression, Ligdoilim Aboy Menachmai. He might be insignificant to all the Rabbanim and Goinim and Kadoshim that are coming to the Menachem Ovel, but he sits Baroish. That doesn't mean that you're the great guy just because you're sitting Baroish, you haven't been Ovel. So he was telling him in a Derech Remes, like you said, Beremiza, you think you're Groisa Kanaka, you happen to be the chief rabbi, Ravana. There may be greater Rabbonim than you, after all.
You're anyway, in sticks.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so you look in the back of the Gemara, that Maram Shif, I think, brings that. The art scroll brings that. Okay.
It's
on to the next mission.
Not a pella that he didn't know.
No, I'm a Rava. Sorry.
It's not a pella that Rav Onan didn't know that. And he's a Rav. He's not worthy to be mentioned.
Come on. He doesn't know Navi. I don't know Navi, but I'm not.
Yeah, but you and I are not. Come on.
Exactly.
There is a Toisus somewhere else. I don't remember exactly where. It's top of the Yamad Aleph. That we see from a number of Gemaras that there were Tanoim or Amiron that were not Boki in Tanakh, because the Gemara asks questions. Or the Gemara in Kiddushin doesn't, but the Gemara talks about over there that there are 600,000 oisias in the Torah, and the Gemara says, where's half? And he says, I don't know, we have to open up and save the Torah and try to figure it out. Well, why didn't they figure it out? Didn't they know it's an Acha Baal Peh? The Torah says, you see from this Gemara and other Gemaras that they were not familiar with this Torah about Mechsav Baal Peh. When they wanted to look something up, they looked it up. They didn't commit it to memory. Anyway, be that as it may, we're up to Umar Rava. We already quoted this on the Amid Aleph. Hilchas Halacha is when he's talking about the collections for a Meralmi Parnasa, anything involving a Ksuba. Hilchas Amim Karkoivim Metalkli, you only have a lien on the Karkois of the estate and not the Metalkin. Bein Lemazoin Yisai, if you want to receive Mazoinis, that's for the Bas or for the wife. In other words, you have the Tanai Bana Nukvan, that the daughters go and get food until either to Lokhan Govrin or to Tibagrin, they get Mazoinis, Bein Laksuva, or the wife wants to go and get her 100 or 200, in other words, the basic Ksuba, or Bein Lepanosa for the Nadin, all of that comes from the Karka and not from the Taltalin, but that's in the times of the Gemara. You remember we had the Toysis earlier, what did Toysis say?
Toysis said that nowadays that we
where was that Toysis?
That was
Nun Aleph from Aleph, exactly right. Nun Aleph from Aleph, the Toysis brings from the Kodesh HaGa'onim. It's the same Gemara, it's Omer Rav in the middle of Nun Aleph from Aleph, 51a, right before the Mishnah. You see, both cases, Rav comes right before the Mishnah. That's Mekakoivim Metalkali. And then you look at the big Toys, Mekakoivim Metalkali, look at the last four lines, that was Biyam Mehei. The Nir, the Bismana Zed, the Kulikam Metalkali. Ksuba or Mazayim to Tekanas Hagioinim that you do collect from Metalkalim out of Tekanas Hagioinim. But also Nami and Ansari Shekhov and the other Mekilim the husband is saying Metalkali. Choshev Kemoy by midnight. The Pasuk Grava Ke Reb. Yeah. Anyway, so bottom line is the Gemara is telling us Halacha Lameisa that based on Tekanas Hagioinim we do take it from Metalkalim after all.
Since you can own property in many areas, it was necessary. Since if you couldn't own property, there's no property. Many Jews were prohibited to own property, especially in Europe.
So Toysis doesn't say that, but others start to say the reason for that Tekanas HaGa'onim was in the times of Chazal, what was the symbol of wealth? Not necessarily wealth with a capital W, even a little wealth. That a person had a piece of karka, and from that piece of karka, he was able to grow some vegetables for himself, and some tzvua, and some peiros. If he had more, he was able to sell it and make more money. That was how you. That's where you had your money invested. However, in later days, many governments didn't allow the Jews to own real estate, and they were constantly on the run because of pogroms and crusades and all the rest, so they just had to go and take their cash in their pockets, their diamonds, etc., and so people started collecting from the Talmud because people didn't have karka. On to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Hamashlish mo'is libitoi v'yoymeres nemen bali olai yase sholish mashu hushlash v'yodi divirem meyer. What is this all about? You have a daughter, and the father, before he passed away, he went and put aside money for his daughter that she should have for a nadin. Or, Rashi says, like we'll see in the Mishnah shortly, to go and buy a field, which presumably that would be the nadin. So he puts away money for his daughter. He didn't give it to her. He gave it to a shalish, to a third party. And we'll see in the Gemara if we're talking about a ketano or a gedoyla. We'll see about that shortly. Anyway, so he put away money with a shalish. And now she's, Baruch Hashem, getting ready to get married. And now she says to the shalish, now is the time that you can go and transfer the funds to me. You no longer need to do anything further. The whole purpose of this money was an endowment, a nadin that I should get married. I'm getting married! So, Neman Bali Olai, he's believed, you can go and hand over the cash, and he'll go and buy whatever investments, whatever properties, he knows he's amazing, you can rely on him. Says the Mishnah, Yaseh Sholish Mashu Shlubi Yodeh. He should not follow what the daughter says, he should follow what the father said. Why, says Rashi? Because Mitzvah Lekayim Divri HaMes, the mess gave me the power to hold on to those funds, and to invest them, and to buy properties. That's what I'm going to do. Mazel tov that you're now a kala and you're getting married, gesundheit, but I'm going to go and buy the property, then I'm going to hand it over to you or to your chosin, and you'll take care of it. Divremeh. Rabbi Yossi Yoyman.
Actually, the timing of this is a little vague here.
It was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
The father passed away, and the shalish has the funds.
Correct.
And now the daughter's coming to him for the funds or for the property? He's going to give the property to her anyway, so...
The intent was that the Sholish is going to take these funds and buy a property
right. For
her, that will be her nadin when she gets married.
But now she's getting married, so it doesn't...
And the Sholish has not bought the property yet.
Thank
it's
you.
Still in cash.
Thank you.
No problem. So Reb Meir says, she says, you can give me the cash, I'll give it to my chosin. He understands investments in real estate even better than you, and he'll take care of it. And the Sholish says, Reb Meir, no, no, no. Sholish, you hold on to the funds. When you find a choice piece of property, you'll buy it, and then you'll give the reins, you'll transfer the property to the chosin kallah. But you initially do what you're supposed to do, because, says Rashi, Mitzvah de Rimes, the father told you to buy the property, not to hand over the cash. That's what you should do. Rabbi Yosef said, no. What would have happened had the Sholish already bought the field a year ago? And now comes time for Chosin Kali getting married. He's going to hand over the field. What happens if she wants to go and sell it right now? Doesn't she have the right? After all, it's her field. She can go and sell it. She has the Karen.
Save the brokerage fee.
Why don't you deem it as if he already bought the property? He's handing over the property to her. She's going to sell it and she's going to get the cash. So instead of going through all these loops, just give her the cash and finish, and let her do whatever she wants to buy another property. This one, that one. Hari Mechur Miyachshav. So that's the machlokes is now between the Meir and Reb Yosi. We're going to dwell on that in the Gemara a little bit further. The Ben Devar Mamur, when are we talking about? Bigdoila, Abiktana in Masik Tanaklo. So Rashi already points out, Gemara Mefarish, who says this Memenda Devar? Is this going back on the Meir? Is this going back on Reb Yosi? And the Gemara will expand and expound on this Gemara, on this
Mishnah. It's a very shy chinyan, because oftentimes parents know their children and they know how their children are going to. Relate to liquid versus
illiquid property.
Illiquid assets, which will be more difficult for them to stop.
So liquidate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're going to spend it in 2 days, and there won't be anything left.
Exactly.
Yeah. We know those stories.
Yeah.
By the way, for your kind information, Shlomo, who's here, he's from Yerushalayim, so he's on together with us. Yes. Anyway, continuing on. Zuntimar, Tanurban. Now, the Brice is worded slightly differently than the Mishnah, but it's talking about the same fact pattern as the Mishnah. A person put away money for the purpose of his daughter when she gets married to her chassan. So again, with the Sholish like we had in our Mishnah. The Bita, for instance, to go and buy a Soda for his daughter. And now she says to the Sholish, he's about to get married, she's about to get married. Inos Labali. Don't do anything. Don't buy any field. Just give me the cash, and I'll give it to my husband, or you give it directly to the husband, and he'll take care of it. He'll invest. He'll buy. He'll sell. Whatever he needs to do. So now continues on the price. Min nisuin. If she's getting married, capital M married nisuin, consummated marriage, or it's just be other. Then she has the upper hand, and she tells the sholich, give me the funds. Min erisin. If she's just in the erisin stage, the betrothal, the initial stage, yasa sholich mashush biyali divrame. So this is now expanding what Reb Meir said, because Reb Meir just said Mashul should be Yadoi, and the Brayis is telling us that there's a difference between Eirisin and Nisuin. Eirisin, Yasa Mashul should be Yadoi, but Nisuin he should taki give it to the young lady and the chosn. Reb Yosi Oimer, it's not a question of Eirisin and Nisuin; it depends on Kitana or Gedoyla. Ha Gedoyla, if she's already Gedoyla, Rashi doesn't say Gedoyla, presumably means a Naara or a Boigris. Is Bein Minisun, Bein Min Eirisin, and Shuz Biyada. If she's a Gedoyla already, then she has maturity. The father only meant that the Sholish should hold on to it because she was a Tana, a young girl, 6 years old, 10 years old. Now she's a Gedoyla. Go and give the money to her and to the Chosin, Sai Nisun, Sai Eirisin, Shuz Biyada. If she's still a Tana, no, Bein Minisun, Bein Min Eirisin, Yaz the Sholish, Masha, Ushulish, Biyada. So therefore, Reb Meir makes a distinction between Eirisin and Nisuin. Reb Yosi makes a distinction between Ketana or a Gedoyla. Freitimar by my benai. So let's now focus on where is in fact the machloikis between the two of them. So if you think about it for a moment, there are four possibilities. You can have a Ketana with Eirisin, you can have a Ketana and Nisuin. You can have a Gedoyla with Eirisin, and you have a Gedoyla with Nisuin. The two extremes are Dava Pasha that everybody agrees. The two extremes are, if it's a Ketana, Mina Eirisin, both Reb Meir and Reb Yosi agree, the Sholish should do Masha Hushlish Biyodai. Because number one, she's still a Ketana. That's what Reb Yosi said. Ketana makes a difference. Eirisin is doing. You give the Sholish, she takes over. And Reb Meir said, if it's Eirisin, makes no difference. Ketana Gedoyla, Eirisin, Yasa Sholish Masha. So if it's a Ketana mit Eirisin, everybody agrees. Now go to the other extreme. If she happens to be a Gedoyla min Nisuin, everybody agrees, Sholish, hand over the pie, give the money over to the Chusin Kala. everybody. So now we only have the two middle cases. What are the two middle cases? You have a Tanam and Nisuin, and you have a Gdoyla Minho Eirisin. What would be the machloikis there? And now we're going to concretize the machloikis. So, Ilema, are you telling the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi is by Ketana min Hanisuin, Iker min Ayub? Then Reb Meir Sovar, her Rishus Biyada, since she still happens to be a Ketana, then the Sholeh should do what he has to do. He also Reb Yossi Lemeimer, no, Afil min Nisuin, Nami. Since we're talking about Nisuin, remember what did Reb Yossi say? If it's min Nisuin, it makes no difference. And you're talking about Minisuan, it's all this in Minisuan, Nami Gdoyle. I'm sorry. The other way around. Don't get upset. Rabbi Yossi says, Agdoyle ben Minisuan ben Min Erison, or it's just the other. Tana ben Minisuan ben Erison, Yasa Shush Mashalish Biyad. So now we have a case of Ketana ben Minisuan. So what would Rabbi Yossi say? Since it happens to be a Ketana, ben Minisuan ben Min Erison, Yasa Shush Mashalish Biyad. So therefore, for us, Rabbi Yossi Lameima, Philim and Nisuin, Nami Gdoyle in Ketana Loi. It's only Gdoyle, not Ketana. That's the difference that he makes between Gdoyle and Ketana. So Eima Sefer. So if that's the Pshat now in the Brisa and in the Mishnah, let's look at the end of the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah, Av Bitana, Eimasa, Ketana, Kloom. If you're talking about Ketana, then Segunish. Homan Ketanilo, who just said that? Ilem Rabbi Yossi, is this Rabbi Yossi speaking? Homereish Shamas Mina. Then we already learned this from what Rabbi Yossi said a minute ago. We're quoting from the Mishnah. He's saying till the Sholish. What would have happened if you had already bought the Sada and you had already handed over now the field to her? Now she wants to sell it. She can go and sell it in a second. And we're done. So don't bother going through all the loops and buying and selling that. Just go and give her the money and she'll take care of it. So now, what is this Mishnah talking about? Gedoyla the Bas Zvini and that makes sense to go and say, hand over the money, because if it was sold, she can go and resell it immediately. Gdoyla de Basvini, and that makes sense. Ketana lasvini loy. What happens if she's a ketana? Then Rabbi Yossi's svara wouldn't mean any, would be meaningless. Go and say to the Sholish, hand over the money, because if you're going to buy a field, or you already bought a field, then you're going to hand over the field, she's going to go and sell it. She can't go and sell fields. She's a ketana. So obviously, we're not talking about a ketana, we're talking about a gdoyla. So implicit in what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that if you're talking about a Ketana, then this Tana doesn't hold, and therefore your own Tirish is beyond. So that being the case, why do we have to repeat at the end of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi already said those words. He didn't say those words explicitly, but that's underlying his svara. The svara of why we should hand over the money to the Chosin Kala is because she has the ability to go and sell the pre-existing field. She doesn't have the right or the ability because she's a Ketana. So we already said Medvar Megdula Bedoyla Abekana Imas Ketana Klum. So why are we repeating it? Ella Remeiri. So we have to say that those final words in the Mishnah Medvar Megdula, that's Remeir speaking. Chosin Mechzavach Ketani. Therefore, we have to amplify a little bit on Remeir said. What are we going to say? Yasa Sholish Mashush Biyoder. That's what Remeir said, right? Yasa Sholim Ashur Shul Biyad. The Medvamum, when we say that, Minho Eirisin, then that's when the Sholish retains the reins on the funds, which is just Eirisin. Al Minisuin, Harishus Biyad. Then, if it's Nisuin time, then it goes over to her. That's Remeir's distinction between Eirisin and Nisuin. Then it goes to her. But Medvamum, and now the Mishnah ends off. When Begidoyla, Abitana, Ein Masikitana, Klom. Ah, Shekum Techois. So both Reb Meir and Reb Yossi hold that the Ketana min Hanisuin, that we go and hand it over to the Sholish. Why is that? Number one, because both Reb Meir and Reb Yossi hold she's only Ketana. She doesn't have das to be able to go and sell. So he bazoi, he masik Ketana klof. So he bazoi, so what? I'm sorry, Nachmol. Yeah, but we're talking about the money goes through her because she's the one that's entitled to not, and then she hands it over to the Baal. It might be a wire transfer that goes directly to his account, but it's in halachically, legally, it's going through her. So the machloek is taka between Remeir and Yossi, with the Remeir says, if you're talking about an Eirisin, makes a difference. Yasa Sholish Mashush Biyodoi. But Rabbi Yossi said, no, no, there's a fundamental difference between Gdoyla and Ketana. Gdoyla, Bein Menesuin, Bein Menesuin, it should be Yoda. So, therefore, the machloikis now between Rabbi Yossi is only not in the case of Ketana and Nisuin. Everybody would agree in that case. you should not.
The
sholish holds the money, you don't give it to her. The mayor, and that would be the concrete machloek between a mayor and Reb Yossi. And with that, we end that shtickle. How do we pass it? It mervino mishmu alocha ki Reb Yossi, hand over the money to the chosin kala. Rav Amram Nachman alocha ki Reb Meir. It's a machloek. Now, if you want, we can learn another couple of lines. Or if you want, we can stop over here. It's only 1:14. Let's stop over here, and we can let you continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai Zagi Bench. Thank you all for your many contributions.